Hey, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Life Walk with Christ God. We're doing a little something different tonight. Actually, I have two very good friends of mine that I'm going to have join me. And normally, I don't step out of this. I get just into the Bible and everything, but I want to see how the Bible is playing out today in today's world. Is it better that we have now versus 4 years ago? And where are we going from here? I've heard both sides of the story. Are we moving more towards morals, more towards God, or are we moving more away? And as we get into this, and I'm going to start this, and Riskella, are you on?
Not yet.
Not yet. But I have Jerry Hall, and I have Riskella Stiffens. He is here with us. And thank you for tuning in to Trim Radio Network. But as soon as he comes on, we're going to read this. Jerry, I'm going to let you tell your background a little bit.
Well, okay. So very, very briefly, I had a very large business, sold it, retired. But I also ran for Congress. So I have a lot of influence and or connections with congressmen and senators and a couple of presidents I've met before. The governor of Texas is a good friend of mine. So I've got a lot of political connections that help keep me informed of what's happening and going on nowadays. And plus, I just stay abreast of everything. And I'm retired now, living in Florida. I used to live in Texas. And that's, you know, I had a successful business, retired, and decided just to enjoy life. So then I met Michael and Riskella, and I thought, what a great group of guys to be associated with. Because they have strong faith, and to me, that's really important in our daily lives. And I, you know, I just can't imagine anybody saying they're an atheist at all and believing it and really thinking, hey, that's the right path to follow.
Yeah. I think that's a big thing in today's world is we have a lot of non-believers. And what I mean by that is they're not following anything. And I've always learned there's one thing, you know what you get from nothing? Nothing.
Right.
Okay. So this world, I believe that everything comes from life. So therefore, life produces life. And there's no other way around it. So we have a creator for sure. But I want to get in here. I want to read this. And then I want to take this as to what are we seeing today in a political arena? That is more of a positive thing in our country or a negative thing. But I want to read this verse out of King James Bible, and I'm going to go to Isaiah 43, and it's only like two verses. But it was very interesting. This is a wonderful part. Not only is it very prophetic and everything else, but God himself is guiding our way into the next phase of life. And he's doing this through Isaiah. So let me pick this up. Verse 17, page 786, King James Bible, Isaiah 43. Which bringeth forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the power? They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They're extinct. They're quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall bring forth. Shall not ye know it? I will make every way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons, the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I give drink to my people and to my chosen. And that's what I wanted to cover tonight. God said back then, I'm doing a new thing. We're seeing a world today, and in the last 12 out of 16 years, we were not doing a new thing, in my opinion. We were stuck, and we saw the most, I don't want to say evil, but the most conflicting of God's word that I've ever seen come about in this country, ever. Groups popped up, hatred, anger, diversity, of, you know, where it just became an everyday thing, and it took away hope, faith, love. It took that all away. How do you guys see this? And do you think you're on the right path today, more towards God's word and morals and faith and hope?
We were just talking about that, right, Joe?
Well, I think that, you know, I think because of Trump administration's election, that we've seen a rise in people going back to church. You know, Greg Abbott, a friend of mine, they just passed a law in Texas that they've mandated the Ten Commandments in all schools now.
Wow.
So they, a year ago, they would have never even attempted that.
Yeah.
Now there's been 16 different groups filed suit against it, saying it's against the church and state policy. But we need that Ten Commandments back in our lives. So you're starting to see states taking effect and following Trump's lead. Because he kept saying, you know, Merry Christmas, God is part of my life. And especially after that assassination attempt, he is more of a faith believer than anybody, I think, now out there. And subsequently, he's going to be an instrumental guide for promoting Christianity again in our society, which has been desperate for this for years.
I think it has too. And when you look at it, the country got down to a low of, we have less than 50% of the people actually believing in God and believing that there was, you know, Christ.
Where'd you get that number from, Michael? Less than 50%?
Yes, it was less than 50%. It actually came from some of the churches that were around. You can look it up. But the faith had went down in this country to that degree. Now, how many people they polled, you never know. Remember, when they do polls that are open to
credibility. Because, you know, they skew the numbers. But the story I heard as well, primary millennials are the ones that's not going to church anymore. And they've been indoctrinated that from the schools to tell them there's no belief. And I get asked by atheists all the time, they said, do you believe in the Big Bang Theory? And I said, I most assuredly do. And any Christian looks at me like, why are you saying that? And I said, I believe that God clapped his hands and that was the Big Bang that created the universe. And then so the atheists go nuts on that concept.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that adults, so the Gallup polls that they have or Pew Research Center surveys and everything, it's changed now in the last year or so. On this poll, it says 81%, which is still a low number when you think about it, a very low number. We have, 331 million people in this country, right?
Right, but if you look at what from the 50s, the 40s, 50s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, we were a real religious group of people. We'd said prayers in school in the mornings, and we said the Pledge of Allegiance. We don't do any of that anymore. You know, we've got away, because of the woke society out there trying to make us the villains in life and trying to demonize everything that is good out there. You know, the philosophy now is everything good is bad and everything bad is good.
It's upside down.
Yeah. And right is wrong. Wrong is right. But, you know, when our founding fathers came here and the framers, especially, we have what, eight framers on this. And then there were 55 that actually helped do the eight were the main. And then I believe that's right. Eight were the main ones that wrote, but then you had 55 that all signed at that time. I don't think that they had any doubt in their mind exactly what God was and is and forever. I mean, it was really based. This country was formed that way. We somehow, because the way the Constitution is written, they've decided that the First Amendment should override our Creator. And you could see the conflict there. Was that a mistake? Was
it? I don't understand what you're saying by the First Amendment should override. What do you mean?
Give me an example. So you have the right to say what you want. Freedom of speech, correct?
To a degree, yeah.
Oh, elaborate.
You can't yell fire in a theater when there's no fire, that kind of thing. But yeah, okay. To a degree. With responsibility, maybe that's the best
God
way to put it.
Out of schools. Okay. How, on a country that was formed upon God.
Well,
but how does that, where does that fit into the First Amendment? I don't understand what you were saying. That
because when we created the Constitution, okay, we created the Bill of Rights, we created all that. All men are supposed to be equal and free and everything else. And then we have the Bill of Rights, and all of that fits in. So you have your First Amendment, your Second Amendment, Third Amendment. Somehow or another, the First Amendment was given an opportunity to override God. But as you just said, you can't go to a movie theater and yell fire. You can't go on a plane and say bomb.
Right.
So how did we get to a point, and how do we get back to where we put God first? And can we put God first?
Well, here's the problem. Even these religions are morphing into something wacko. You look at the Methodist ministry has gone woke, and they've fractioned themselves into another religion. There's two more Methodist groups now. There's a progressive and there's a conservative. So now you've got churches that are separating. Then you've also got all these phony ministers out there that, you know, you look at Joel Olstein for one. Gary Shook is another one out of Houston. Wow. I mean, all these guys are false prophets out there screaming, oh, you know, it's all about church and religion as long as you give us all your money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the hurricane helper. Yeah.
I can't have them coming in here and destroying my brand new carpet or tile. One of the two, I don't recall.
Yeah. I mean, he got shamed in the opening that.
Ugh.
I mean, that's the type of people we have out there preaching the gospel. They're hypocrites. And Joel Osteen was on Larry King one time. And Larry King said, Joel, where did you go to theology school? He goes, I never went to theology school. Well, how are you being a minister? He said, I just took over my dad's job. That's what we got out there teaching us about God's way. And then also getting richer than anything. And then his wife is so, I know his wife, so arrogant and egotistical. She got on a Southwest Airlines and said, creating a scene. And the flight attendant came up to her and said, you got to stop this. She goes, do you know who I am? The woman says, no, I don't. Get off the plane. Kicked her off the plane. And she raised a big stink about it. It was all in the press. But these people think they're better than everybody else. And they're just supposed to be carrying a message and be a good statue in society. That's not the way it is anymore. There's too much money out there and too many stupid people following these messages, just pouring money into these churches thinking they're doing a good thing. And all they're doing is spreading evil.
Do you think that our leaders, oh yeah, I mean, this guy.
So some lady asked him about, I think he has three jets or two jets. He's got more than one jet.
Is that what he was pointing at her saying, don't you ever say I
the
said
evil
that
came, oh my gosh, the look at his face was like he completely transformed into Satan himself. Lord have mercy.
I saw that.
Sick.
It was scary. It was spooky. It was scary. And I was just like, that's not a man of God.
Mm-mm.
And now we've got some new guy out there overseas. And he's kind of raging all over saying he is the Messiah now.
Oh, I know who you're talking about, but I can't think of his name. The new Mahdi. I think they call him the Mahdi.
Something like that. Yeah.
So his whole thing is he's going to And I read, unbelievably, I read about this decades ago, that there's going to come a time when Christianity and Islam are going to be formed together, and they're going to call it Chrislam. And that's what this guy is saying. I'm calling on my Christian brothers. I'm calling on my Muslim brothers. And we need to form a unity. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to form a unity between Christians and Muslims. And then who knows what after that. But, I mean, this guy's scary. This guy's very scary.
Yeah, I'm not. Go ahead, Jay.
If you pull up the Kerry Shook Ministries, the very first thing it says, prayer release the power of God in your life. Donate.
Yeah.
Choose them out. On the very first page. You know, it's not even in the, it's not even later on. It's blatantly on your face.
Thank you.
And, it upset me too. I can't tell you, what was it, about 4 years ago when the Democrats, and I'm not picking one side or another, folks, I'm not, but they got up there and they had their crosses on their head. They had this scarf around their neck, and then they all bowed down. And BLM, I think, or something like that, or I can't remember. Nancy Pelosi was in the front. All of them were bowing down. And I'm thinking, but you have caused violence in the streets. You condone it. You push it. You push destruction of what people worked hard for. And, basically sin, and you're pushing it. You're feeding it. And then calling it as a representation of God, when God does not even respond that way. I mean, not that we know how God thinks. We can't. That's an impossible. Who gives God counsel? Who talks to God? Who can challenge God on anything? None of us. But to go ahead and put it out there like this is a direct link to him, how do we overcome this in our political arenas, which will put the people at least on some type of a right footing? We're not getting what we expect out of them, behavior-wise or anything else. How do we change that?
Well, the problem with all that, all these false ministers, like the guy got up there, forgive me for I have sinned, but his ministry is still kicking butt out there.
That's the sad part. Yep.
And they get away with this stuff. And the problem is, we don't have, Rascal and I were talking earlier tonight. We are not seeing any justification or legal process happening to anybody that we've all pointed fingers at. The Trump administration's pointed all these fingers at people, but like Trump, Rascal and I were talking, you don't see anybody going to jail. You don't see anybody. All we hear is about this. There's an investigation started. Yeah. Well, so who cares? I want to see a prosecution. I want to see
the perp walks, man. I want to see the cuffs.
Okay, and that's what we're all hoping for. And we believe that, voting for Trump, that we were going to see actual action happen. Now, granted, we're only into this for 100 days. I can tell you a prosecution takes a lot longer than that. To get it through from charge to prosecution to the grand jury to a district attorney takes months. So we can't be judged to find. Now, I get all these notifications from the U.S. Department of Justice every day talking about what's happening out there. And I was just showing Rascala some of them. I get them on a daily basis, three and four things where they're saying they're prosecuting all these people. They had one the other day. They had prosecuted or arrested 1,150 people in 1 week. And this last raid they just did on this marijuana patch, 360, I think, they arrested, and some children.
Yeah, they said they found unaccompanied children.
So
we're having a lot of fraud everywhere. We have 324 arrested down here for Medicaid fraud.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and it was an excessive amount. I'm talking more than millions and millions. It was an excessive amount. But it also is, are we walking down a path? This is something that happened even in the Old Testament. you know, in the New Testament, Pharisees, Sadducees, Sanhedrin, were all just, well, we're about the law, we're about this, we're going to expose this. And at the same time, Christ wasn't looking to put them on trial. It right. was more, let them expose themselves, and then we'll remember that the next time down the line.
We don't. You know, we don't have hindsight vision. That's the problem. We go, what's happening today? And they're good today. So what they did, they just burned down a church last week. But today they're good people. They care about the community now. And we forgot about the church burning. And that's what's happening in our society now. Unless true Christians stand up. And I tried to do this with Umatilla Baptist Church. The minister is I can't think of his name right now, but what a phony minister he is. I asked him, I said, why don't we join forces with a group of churches and do a million Christian man walk on Washington? I don't want to do that. That's the mentality of the churches nowadays. They just want their little community. They want to make as much money as they can. And that's it. That's all they care about. They don't care about spreading true gospel ministry and doing the right gospel things. It's everything revolves around money.
Yeah, that's the sad part. Everything's around money.
It's all about money. That's the biggest thing. And it's around, let's get this person, a vengeance, you know? And I've seen it, and it's frustrating, because when you see that, and it's trying to wrap your head around that, and we watched that for 4 years. Uh-huh. I watched people get torn apart. I watched people destroy each other, to the point it destroyed the country just about. And it was very hard to witness that and watch that. And then the finger pointing, like you said, and everything else happened, and the people didn't know what to believe. They didn't know.
That's by design too. That is by design.
Yeah.
It's overcome the people. Their motto is order through chaos or order from chaos. So if they can, part of the confusion is the chaos. So then continue into that, then they get to do whatever they want while people are fighting amongst themselves and the chaos is going on. They create the order. Their order, not the proper order, you know, not common law order, their order.
And when you relate that, exactly what you said, when you relate that to what God says about Satan, and he says he's only coming here, Christ, to steal, kill, and destroy.
That's right.
And it's very interesting, because people are like, well, what does that even mean? If you kill somebody, aren't they already destroyed? No.
No.
Because he comes to steal. What he does is he steals your faith, he steals your hope, your love, and any belief in God. That kills you, because then you no longer walk with God. And then what happens? It destroys you. How? Because your name
is not in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's why.
That's right. I mean, so I asked people, I wanted to get their opinion, and I said, what's worse? Going to hell or having God turn his back on you?
Wow.
You know, we have, I think that's a real problem, is just that the churches that are out there are so limited in numbers that really teach the gospel. Okay. And that's the real problem. So we're getting a messed up sense of religion out there being taught to our children. And it's like, okay, the Carry Shirt Ministries, to begin, it started off with the Fellowship of the Woodlands. That's what it used to be. But this guy got so caught up in his ego, he renamed it to Carry Shirt Ministries. What is that glorifying? I don't hear it. I don't see any God glorification there. And then he would get up on stage, and he had phenomenal shows. I mean, he had the Blue Men there putting on a show for Sunday service. He was doing theatrics that were like,
that's the problem.
And so
I see the falling of the church. It's a show. What's what you called it? A show, right?
And that's what it's like. Show.
It's a show. Yeah. Yeah. A couple of churches that I went to, there's a very large church in West Palm Beach, very well known, very popular. It's a show. When you go there, the praise is not really praise. It's more of a, it's almost like a rock show, even with the fog on the screen and the electric guitars and the drums and everything. It's like there's a stage, you know, and it, to me, it was a show, and it was a turnoff, complete turnoff, because it wasn't the church that I got saved in. It was not uncommon for us to be praising God for 45 an hour, just nothing but praising, just singing and crying out to God and asking for forgiveness and leadership and guidance for almost an hour sometimes. And it wasn't uncommon for us to do that. And you go, well, the one that I went to, maybe 15 or 20 minutes, and none of it was really praise. It was more, let's get you to feel good, bang, 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 you know, heart, a fast beat, you know.
Okay, but here's the problem with a lot of these religions. And I'm just talking from my perspective. You know, I want to go in and hear a message, and I don't want to be rocked and danced in pony
That's
show.
What you're getting. That's what you're getting.
Yeah. I want to go in and not be in there for friggin' four hours either. Okay. Sure. You know, an hour maximum is really good. And because realistically, an overabundance of anything, people turn off. And so if it's in short blips, you're likely to remember it and pay attention to it. And the problem is we don't have anything out there like that. It's either one or the other, bore you to death or rock you to death, you know? Yeah. So where's the middle road? And that's what really needs to be out there. And also, you know, something like, okay, like I do with that card, you know, I've given you both of those, that card. I use that when I gives me a chance to share a little bit of heartfelt ministry to someone on the street. And we're not doing that anymore. You don't see people out there just doing local ministry one to another.
Yeah, we used to do street ministry. Okay. We did prison ministry.
Yep.
So here's the thing. And I'm going to shut my camera off, and I'll tell you why. All right. Riskella, you first. Not a church. I want to know what event in your life, made you without a doubt, without a definite doubt at all, decide, you know what, this has to be God. What was it? There's always something. And Jerry, I want the same thing from you.
But, well, Riskella, go first.
Yeah, you go first. I want you to take it, because this happened to me. And then how did it change you? What was the effect of it? Go ahead.
It started with my wife, actually. I was married at the time. And she found a small church when she started going to church. And she tried to get me to go. And I said, you go. If it makes you happy, that's fine. Leave me out of it, you know. So it was only about 50 people in the church. And it was held in a very large home, actually. A very wealthy person had allowed them to use the home for whatever they wanted, because they weren't using the home. They were having issues with the sound system, and I've always been in electronics. So she asked me if I would go help with the sound system to get the sound system to work. So I went over there on a Saturday, and the sound system was wired all crazy. And so I finally got it all figured out and tested it, and it was working fine. Then they asked me to come and record. Now, mind you, I was literally in a closet. Okay. In a closet with recording equipment, a couple of cassette recorders, it was some kind of a sound box. So anyway, I watched this pastor for probably well over a couple of months. I watched people. He invited people in his church. They literally cursed him because he said they shouldn't be having intercourse or you know, sexual relations if they weren't married. And they cursed him, and he still smiled on his face, still, you know, a praise on his lips. After watching this guy for all this time, I said, whatever he's got, I want some of that. So it was a Sunday morning. I was in my little closet recording everything. And the only thing I can tell you, I think it was the Holy Spirit hit me, and I came flying out of that closet onto the where he was and knelt down and asked the Lord to come into my life and to guide me and change me and forgive me. And what I was doing, I knew absolutely positive that there had to be a creator and that this man somehow had a much better relationship with him than I did. And I wanted to be like that. And he was a cop of all things too. He was a Metro cop. He was an amazing guy, just an amazing guy. So his example is what led me to the Lord without question in my mind. When I went up there to say the sinner's prayer, there's no question in my mind that there was a God and that this was the door to open to have a relationship with God. I don't like religion. I don't think religion is the way to go. I think religion was introduced to control people. It was a control mechanism. I don't think there's anywhere in the Bible that it says you have to be a religion, but there are repeated examples over and over about relationships. So my thing is, I don't believe in religion. It's not about religion. It's about relationships. And finding that, being turned on to that man and watching him for all those months, where if I was in his position, I would have decked a couple of, right there on the spot, I would have decked a couple of these people. They were so disrespectful and vulgar. Some of them were actually vulgar. And I said, I want some of that because I was a fighter. Look, you know what that is? That's a crushed nose. You know what that's from? That's from street fighting. I was a street fighter growing up. You said the wrong thing. You look at me wrong. We're rolling on the ground, pal, punching each other out. And I wanted to get that out of me somehow. And I never could figure it out until I met this man. Met this guy. He turned me on to the Lord. The Lord, like a vacuum cleaner, sucked it out of me.
So would you say now today, as you see things, are you more strict of eye? Are you more careful about, you know, your reactions and everything else? Because I know in my heart I am. I try to be gentle as much as I can, and I agree with you. Is religion a downfall for mankind?
It is. It is absolutely. It was introduced to control people.
Jerry, how about you? And I'm going to do the same thing.
Okay, I can tell you exactly when it was. It was in 2012. You know, I believed in God all my life, but not to the degree that happened in 2012. I was living in Panama, and we were miserable. We wanted to get out of Panama so badly. And so my wife was a real strong Christian, but little to my knowledge, she had been having difficulties with God because of her, you know, lifestyle. She had been not faithful. And subsequently, she used to be able to pray and get anything she wanted. So we're stuck in Panama, and we can't get out. I've been trying to sell a house for a couple years, a boat for a couple years, and a car for a couple years. No luck. So I decided one day, I said, listen, we're going to go in the front room. We're all going to get down on our knees, and we're going to pray. And I'm going to say a simple prayer. And my prayer was, God, if this is where you want us, then we'll deal with it. And if not, get us out of here. And it's in your hands. That's all I said. That was my prayer. 2 seconds. And the next day, the very next day, I get a phone call from a guy that says, I want to buy your boat. And I went, great. Okay. This was on a Wednesday. He said, I'll be there Friday. On Friday, as soon as that money hit my table, another guy calls me up and says, I want to buy your house. Wow. And then 2 days later, my wife gets a phone call and the girl says, I've been praying and I need to buy your car. Wow. Everything sold in 5 days. That's when my faith changed dramatically. And because I thought, how could this possibly happen? But it was all conducive to that prayer, I believe. And that changed my faith immediately. I had faith all the time along, but it was a superficial faith. It's like, yeah, I believe God's helping me. I believe God's doing nice things for me. I'm having a decent life. I'm not getting run over by a truck or anything like that. So I believe God exists. But I never saw the magnitude of something intentionally happening to me personally that affected my life to the point that I went, whoa, this is awakening. Now, on top of that, after that, I kept getting blessed all the time, and I couldn't understand why. I was like, I'm not that great of a guy. Why am I getting all these great things happening to me? And then that's when I realized, and I think I've given you guys all the cards, those five steps, you know, believing in God, knowing God gives blessings, acknowledge the blessing, thank God for the blessing, and then share the blessing with somebody else. Those five steps have kept me going, and that keeps my ministry going to other people out there every day. So am I a messenger now for God? I don't know. Maybe that's why he wanted me to have that experience in my life to the tune that I absolutely unconditionally believe there is a God. And, you know, is religion or churches the thing of me? No, I don't go to church anymore because I saw too many hypocrisies in the church by the ministers. And I'm still, you know, I've tried different churches, different faiths, different locations, everything. No luck. They all seem to be doing the same thing. Their church message at the end is always about give money. Money.
Money.
No.
Money, 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 money. So
I'll tell you mine. And the point I want to make too is that at some point in your life, you had to have known ahead of time whether you received that message, whether you've taken that message at that time. It wasn't you didn't put it into play until later on. The same thing happened to me, basically. You know, I was 10 years old. My dad was sick for 10 years. Open heart surgery, kidneys, problems.
Wow.
And here's an important part. My dad was born March 19th, 1931. My father passed away in 1986. My little brother, Tommy, was going into the Marines with my stepbrother, Dean. Tommy was born May 19th, 1969. My father died on a Sunday. My brother died on a Sunday. Born in the 1900s, both passed in the 1900s, to where this bothered me so much. And Tommy, when he died, was shot by basically, the man did not like white people, okay? And, of course, they were, if you don't like two people and you're in the Marine Corps, you know what they do? They stick you together, okay? They're that's the thing. You're going to have to work together, and that's what they do. They were working together, and the Sergeant Donaldson that was there at one point, there was a visitor that came. He went into the back of the armory where this guy and my brother were guarding, and he left his revolver, his pistol, on the counter. And this kid grabbed it and said, I'm going to shoot you. I'm going to kill you. And he flipped around, and my brother was leaned up against the wall with his hand in his pocket, and he shot him point blank range, and it went right through and blew out the back of his head. And of course, when they came running up front, they were like, what have you done? What did you do? And everything like that. Well, I didn't know it was loaded and everything else. And anyway, no one called the ambulance for 11 minutes, but he wouldn't have survived anyway.
Yeah, no.
Mm-mm. So I joined the military to, you know, I don't know. I was going through hard times. I went through some bad relationships, and I got in there, and there was this guy, Herb Simmons, that was in there. I was down in the lab. And I saw him reading the Bible, but I didn't know it was the Bible. I just saw him reading and pointing his finger down, going, that's right, that's right, and then pointing upward. Everyone else was at lunch. Normally, I'd go and work out at lunch, but I was there. And it just blew my mind that he was reading this. He was so into it, and I didn't know what he was reading. So I went over there, and I said, Herb, what you reading? And he goes, oh, you can't handle this, Bejas. You can't handle this. And I was like, well, what is it? And he goes, this is too much for you. And I looked, I saw it was the Bible. And he goes, this is too much for you. Well, you've challenged me now, you know, you've challenged me. And it was funny because Herb is black. And I was angry. I was kind of fell into a racial pit at that time, you know, because of what happened to Tommy. So that was kind of like little hints that God was throwing me along the way. And I ended up buying this Bible. It is this very Bible I read today. The very same one. And because of Herb. So down the line, of course, you guys all know, I ended up with lupus, sarcoidosis, and now leukemia, enlarged white cell leukemia. Again, bad through a couple bad relationships and everything. And then I went with some friends. We went to Tennessee to Nashville and stuff. We were going to see one of our friends get baptized. And boy, it did not feel right. It just did not feel right. I did not feel comfortable around the preacher or pastor. I did not feel comfortable. But on the way there, we went to this place called, it's from the YMCA. And I want to say it was like Happy Place or something like that. It was a beautiful outdoor view. Pretty Place. That's what it was called. Pretty Place. So we went to this place. And when you start to walk in, you saw this huge cross. Now, this was back in 2021. As a matter of fact, and there's this huge cross, and behind it is this panoramic view. No houses, no trash, no garbage, no people, just beautiful mountains and everything there. And when I looked at that thing, when I looked at what I could see, the panoramic, but that cross stood out. It like sucked me in. And I was like, I just felt, wow. I mean, it was so overwhelming and so just the humility that you come to and the beauty that you saw and everything else. I just, from that day forward, I never had a doubt. And I go back and I look at everything that happened in my past. And I realized the whole time God was walking with me, but I didn't know it. I wasn't picking up the clues in my life that he wanted to be a part of me, or it would be unconditional. You know, we get scared in our lives and we're like, you know what? How many times have you felt like, well, I screwed up on that and there's no way God's going to forgive me. Do we have that today in society, to where we believe maybe that's why religion is not taking hold, that people just don't think they can be forgiven? Or do you think that it's people that they have just rejected the word altogether? But either way, how do we get people back into that? I mean, I cried when I saw this thing. I sat down and was like, put in my seat, I was like, whoa.
I think we're starting to see that movement, because I'm starting to see big groups of millennials joining together in religious gatherings and settings and praising the grace of God. And I'm seeing these little, we don't see it in the press, because the press sure doesn't want to publicize this. They want us to think we're atheist, anti-Christian, devil worshipers, hate mongering, but you know, that's the party of inclusion. Go figure that. You know, we hate you, but we want you to join us.
won't you come to our side of doom? Yeah.
You know, and the reality of it is, these kids have been so screwed up in their lives. Plus that with single parent families. I mean, that's another thing. Our government worked diligently to separate marriages. Prime example, look at our tax code. If you're married, you don't get as much big a deduction as you would if you were two single people. Yep. If you're married getting Social Security, you don't get as much money as two separate individual people. So a lot of people that are on Social Security that fall in love with somebody else go, let's not get married, because otherwise we'll lose money on our Social Security.
Yeah.
So what are they promoting? And tax exemption when you're married, not as good as if you're single. So we, our society is predicated about breaking us apart, which God's plan was to bring us together as a family unit and grow as a family unit in God, unifying the strength of his faith and his and our beliefs in him through that unity. But now it's like, hey, divorce is like the neatest thing in the world now. It's the best thing you can do. Get divorced. Don't work through it.
Horrible.
And it's horrible what we're doing to our society. Horrible. And the problem is, what do we do about it? How can we start the movement? The movement starts right here. It starts with three people talking about this, but getting it out there to the other people. That's the problem. How do we do that? How do we market this to other believers and in, you know, in churches or ministry groups? That's the problem. And I don't know how to go about doing that.
Yeah, it's a tough thing. And I'm not sure. The world is definitely around money. There's no question. But I want to and divorce is this thing. You know, I always looked at the government. They do. There's a couple things that they do if you want to destroy a country. Number one, take God away.
Right.
Because if you take God away, you take away faith, hope,
morality.
And, yeah.
No morality. And that's what we're facing today. No morality.
Number two, well, that's like Rome. What happened when Rome took the religion away?
Yeah.
It collapsed completely. The strongest nation in the world collapsed.
Number two, I always said, make both parents work so hard and so long that they cannot be together. Raise their children. Yeah. And Xbox raises the child, you know, and one of those things. Yep. Number three, dumb them down. Change the educational system to where you don't know the difference between wrong is right, right is wrong. You just accept that.
Or they teach it. Or they teach wrong is right and right is wrong.
And then you impose a tax or an over amount of government to where the government, you are now relying on them instead of them working for you.
Mm-hmm. That's what they want. See, if they can have you strung out, oh, I gotta get my monthly check. If I don't get my monthly check, I won't be able to meet my bills. So you got to be careful what you say, right? You got to be careful not to get in any kind of trouble, raise any kind, make any kind of waves, because they could cut you off at any time. And guess what? You got nothing. That's what they want.
Well, yeah, you hear this fear from the Democratic side that the Republicans are trying to destroy Social Security.
Yeah.
And in fact, they're trying to shore it up by getting rid of all the illegal aliens on Social Security.
Yeah, they should have never had it to begin with.
And you could give it longevity, raise the age limit a day or a year. You know, if you raise it 1 year, what happens is you're paying into it longer. People are going to pay into it a little longer.
But here's the problem. It started off.
Quit taking money from Social Security, too. Clinton put that in there.
See, the problem is that it started, you could retire and take Social Security at 55.
That's right. Now nobody remembers that. That's right.
Now it's 67.
They're going up to 70. They're going up to 70, Jerry.
Yep. So here it is. 15 years we've lost off of income.
Yep.
You know, and they're making people work longer. And then on top of that, the ludicrousy is when I took Social Security at 62, I couldn't work and make over $13,000 a year until I was 65. Now, what's the sense in that?
You know, so I'm on Social Security now too. And, although I do have a hard time, I couldn't work more than part time. But
are you on disability insurance? That's a big difference. That's a whole different ballywag. I'm just talking me being on Social Security as, you know, a capable person that earned my income and deserving of it. And then
there should be no limit. You should be able to get your Social Security regardless.
I mean, I put in 40 years. Don't get me wrong. I put in 40 years. So I did my time. It's not a matter I didn't do that. I more than did that. It was just a matter of with the sickness, with everything going on.
That's a whole different story.
Yeah, it's a different story. It's a whole different thing. But you do those like five things and you can destroy a country.
And look what's happening. The thing that scares me right now is if you read the Bible and it says in the end times, they're going to see all these natural disasters. And if you look around the globe right now and see the magnitude of natural disasters that are going on, it's scary. Yeah. It is truly scary because they had a volcano just erupt here a few days ago. And I don't know what country it was in. But now they're talking about Yellowstone National Park is on a seismic alert. So is that going to blow up here? And they're talking Mount Helen is now having some seismic activity again. It blew up years ago.
What about all the floods?
And the floods happening so badly. Like, I mean, how can a river increase 26 feet in 45 minutes?
Yeah. That cannot be natural. I'm telling you, something's not right with that whole deal.
Well, there's a lot of conspiracy stuff about that going out because that majestic school was supposedly the students there were from families that were getting ready to blow a whistle on a lot of politicians for their corruptness, and bam, their children are gone.
Hmm. You know, you say that, but we had that thing in Hawaii too that made us question a lot. All of a sudden, that fire. Yeah. And we're like, whoa, what happened there? We're seeing a lot of things, and is some of it manipulated? You know, there's so much that we didn't think these things were happening. Remember that horse that we said, hey, look, they made this mechanical horse. And as we were going through talking about this, they were like, it's going to be about 10 years before it's developed. They have a picture of this thing that's a prototype. And Riss and I were looking at this, and I'm like, wait a minute. You've got a prototype, and then you're going to tell us it's not going to be developed for another 10 years. Sure. Well, now we know that's a lie. And
okay, but if you look back, when did Star Trek come out? 1961? Something like
that? No, I use that too.
Okay, think about this. You know what happened? The minute Gene Roddenberry started that movie and he put the Dr. McCoy in the medical room and laid the patient on the table and the table did the diagnostics, do you know that he was approached by the Secret Service and said, where did you come up with that idea? And he goes, let's just brainstorm. And they threatened to close him down because they had that technology.
They had med beds
back then. So where is our technology now? See, one thing, I bought stock in a company called Digital Angel. How does this tell you? It was a manufacturing company of RFID chips that were implantable. Okay. And the very first person that got the very first biomed implant was the dean of the medical school. He was the very first guy that got implanted. Well, his company was bought out later on. And now what they're doing, I followed the process of the whole company because I wanted to see what they were doing. This happened. And I think it got all covered up. But in Florida and in California, all newborns were implanted.
Holy smokes.
Without the parents' authorization.
Wow.
And I don't know if that process is still in play now, but all newborns were embedded with these IRFD chips. So here we talk about the beast. And I flipped out on that. And this medical company called Digital Angel was touting how great this was, how that you could just scan your finger and you'd have all your medical records right there. But they didn't talk about what was the limitation on that?
Their heart rate.
Yeah, what was in that? Well, now also, and they've got nanobots that they've supposedly put in the
jab
in the vaccines. So we don't know what, and that was to say, those are in there so that we can kill any potential virus that you might have in the future. We can modify those nanobots on a flip of a switch and modify them to kill any other upcoming virus,
including you.
Including you. Didn't bother to say that. It's a kill switch.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, I look at that and I go back and I'm in Matthew 5. And in the New Testament, they talk about six commandments total, but really it's predicated on two. Christ says, on these two things, I put all. Love thy God with all your might, with all your strength, with all your heart, with all your mind. And the second one is just as important as the first. Love thy neighbor as you would love thyself. Mm-hmm. And live your life in that aspect. And it's very, when you hear that, it's those two things, you know, he has put that in there. And we've forgotten those things, I think, in today's world. And it applies, it encompasses all 10 when you think about it. It encompasses all 10 of those things. But it was very interesting. And I loved it because, you know, God had said, you know, and of course, Christ taught with authority. He wasn't vengeful. Even when they said, who gives you this authority? When the Pharisees asked him to do these things. And he says, I got a question for you. Paul's baptism, baptizing of people, was it from God or was it from him? Now, if they said one, then Christ will say, well, why didn't you believe me? And if he says it, if it's not, then the people looked as Paul as a prophet. And if they didn't say that, they might have stoned them. So it put them in it created a corundrum for them. And of course, it's very interesting. But especially as you read on, because it did come from God. And it came from also, Paul did that. But if you go to Isaiah and you go back, he said, one will come calling in the wilderness and make straight the paths, talking about Christ coming, predicting it. And very interesting how he did it. Paul didn't drink. He never drank. He ate honey and ate locusts. That's what he lived on.
Well, I thought that was John, not Paul.
Oh, John. Sorry.
You're messing with me.
Yeah, my mind is going in like 100 miles an hour. But that
we'll get on Peter, Paul, and Mark.
Yeah. But John. So yeah. John the Baptist, you know, when Christ asked, was John's Baptist from God or from man? So it's very interesting, but I think that we've forgotten that. Somehow or another, we've lost all that.
Well, but again, we knowing that, what do we do about it? What do we do? How do we spread the word?
All you can do is share the word. And there's a place where Christ says, those who have ears to hear will hear. So all you can do is share the word. If their ears are open, if their eyes are spiritually available, those words will sink in. It's just like I think about when that morning that he gave the pastor gave that sermon, and it was like I was literally like pulled out of there. I'm telling you, it was like beyond me. It was like the next thing I knew, I was on my knees in front of this pastor and saying the sinner's prayer. So if your ears are open and your eyes are spiritually open, then you're willing to hear the words. But I have to understand that there's a lot of darkness out here, a lot of darkness, and they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it because it brings conviction. They think it brings condemnation. It brings conviction. The word doesn't condemn.
The problem is, you know, a lot of people speak, but people don't hear.
Yeah.
And the problem is what they hear is a bifurcated comment from the person that's speaking of what they want to hear.
Exactly. They only pick out what they want. Next slide. That's right.
What's justifiable to them.
Yep.
So that's, you know, it's a bifurcated message. It gets to them. And they're not, the problem is just, okay. And I'm going to attack you for a second, Riscala, just a little bit. Okay. You know, you're upset about getting prosecuted in this time era. Well, that's the problem in religion too, is people want to see something proof. Where's the proof?
They want to see a sign.
And so we're rushing for something that may take a lifetime. Okay. Prime example. Maybe. Was my faith always this strong as it is today all my life? No. It took a monumental thing much later in my life for me to see the light. And that's so I was not hearing the message all along that was being told to me because I was blocking it out. or I didn't want to hear it. I wanted to hear a different message. I wanted to see concrete proof. I wanted the earth to open up and the stars to shine. And then I was going to go, oh, there's God. But that's not how he works.
Yeah.
And the problem is kids today, yeah, say, show me. Well, yeah, it's like the best response to that is, okay, do you believe in the wind? And I love this. I've heard this years ago. And they say, well, yeah. Oh, well, can you see it? Can you feel it? Can you touch it? Well, no, but is it there? Well, yeah. Okay. Well, then why can't you assimilate that with God? Why can't you assume that God's there? Because just because you can't see him, feel him, and touch him doesn't mean he doesn't exist.
But see, that's where I would say, yes, you can. Have you not gone through your life? And this is my answer to people that say that. I have seen things with my own eyes that nobody can explain to me, that I could come to the logical conclusion of myself and other people that have been with me that have seen, there's only one logical conclusion. So I'm seeing God in the works that he has done.
Okay.
Right. In my life. Now, are we touching God? Is he touching us? Well, yeah. You just said your house, your car, everything got, so he's touching you in that way. Now, are we able to taste God? You know, we're talking about the senses here. The word that he has written, the pure word, we do taste that. We do live that. We do feel that. We do. It affects every aspect. Are we hearing it? So we're taste, touch, everything, smell, everything. We're understanding that. And it's just a matter of how you look at it. So
that's the problem, because the millennials nowadays think science is the only answer. Science is what got us here today. Science created my DNA. Science created this incredible uniqueness of me, that science created me from an ape, from a lizard climbing out of the ocean. Give me a friggin' break, dudes. But that's the kind of crap that's being taught to us. You know, Darwin, and I love this. People say, yeah, we evolved for apes. And I said, well, why aren't the apes still evolving? I mean, we could have that transition stage somewhere in between there and now. And they, you know, then they can't justify that. But they're looking for this, you know, okay, you all just said, and so did I, in our lives, something caused us to gain that realization, okay? Maybe these kids haven't gotten that, you know, hasn't happened.
Wake up, bro.
Yeah, and that's the problem, is they're still searching for that answer. Look, I was, you know, that was 10 years ago. I was 60, in my 60s before it hit me. So even though I thought I was a Christian all along, I was like, I was a Sunday Christian. You know, I'd go home on Mondays and I'd talk like a sailor. So... yeah. You know,
and I agree with you, because that's the thing. And I always say this, and I wanted to read one last thing to you, because I know we're getting close on the time. Not that it matters. We can stay on as long as you guys want.
So I got to get up early tomorrow.
I got you. So I'm going to read in Matthew 10:64, King James. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those that are merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you for falsely for my name's sake. And then rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And the interesting is when people hear this and they hear a prime example is the morn. Let's say mourning, right? Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know what that is, right? And of course, the Bible's open to all kinds of interpretation. Mourning is remorseful for what you have done. You regret it. You look at that and you're like, ugh, now I've put myself.
What was I thinking?
Right. And you have. When pulled your hand away from God's. God's hand is always still. When we sin, we pull away. And then we ask for forgiveness and we try to creep back and we do it real slow. But yet God's hand never left. And that's how it was in my life. And that's why I wanted to ask you guys, you know, what was that time that it happened? And what led that? But see, all your lives, there was always something there, whether it was knocking on the door, whether it was little secrets. So when people say you can't see it, but you did, you just didn't recognize it.
That's it. That's exactly.
You didn't perceive it at that time. It wasn't your time yet. God's timing is perfect. So right. He made it known to you at that perfect time.
Well, and I think that in reality, that's what's going on with a lot of people out there. Now, we see the adverse side of it because we're in God's shadow, okay? Right. So we see our lives have changed. And then we look at these young kids and they're living vicariously through who knows what, some rock star or something. And they haven't seen the light yet. And the problem is it'll take some monumental thing in their life for them to come to realization. And all you can hope for is I see this happening. It's like I see young people starting to be a little more cognizant of churches. And some of these churches, I have to admit, are drawing kids to church simply for the music. Not for the message, but for the music. I want to go rock out on Sunday morning. Be with a bunch of friends of mine. Get to know some new people. They're supposed to be good people. But then they turn around Friday nights and Saturday nights. They're out partying their butts off, getting drunker than a skunk. So it's going to take a realization. And again, God's time is God's time, not ours. And no matter how we can or what we can do, we can only share our blessings with other people one-on-one as we bump into them. And that's what I do with those cards. It gives me excuse to share a message with other people that I believe and show them through my actions that, hey, God's thinking of them. And I stopped by and just gave them a little message. And it's amazing to see the look on people's faces when I give those cards out. Mm-hmm. They look at me. I gave a card out the other day. At the hospital. I was at the hospital picking up medical records. And the woman I was, you know, saying, well, you don't have a blessed day. And I said, wait a minute, are you a Christian? She goes, oh, you betcha I am. So I gave her one of the cards and she looked at it and she goes, this is so cool. I got to give this to other people. There's a message being spread by one action. And that's it.
I mean, that's what it takes. And we have to remember, too, before we go, because we're just about out of time, folks, what kind of relationship are we having with God? Mm-hmm. Understand something. Are we having a relationship on his terms? Are we having a relationship on our terms? Yeah. Our terms are, hey, listen, God, I have time for you from 10 to 12 on Sunday. I have time for you on Wednesday during Bible study. And then I'm going to go ahead and live my life any way I want without changing what I need to change at all. Completely dismissive? Or are we having a relationship with God on you walked yourself into your worst situation, you were down, you prayed, Jerry, you were down in your low spot, I was down in my low spot. You cannot go to God in a high spot. It is impossible. You have to be coming from a low spot so that God can lift you up to a high spot. And that's what it takes. So we have to have that relationship, that commitment that, you know what, God, this is on your term. Every day I will praise you and give you glory and glorify your name. And then you use what you went through that got you to that point, that second of your life that made you know without a doubt, there's the message. Yep. It's not anything else. It's that. It's testimony.
Right. Well, I guess we had a call tonight. This has been good. As always, we should do this more often.
I would be honored. I would be honored. I think that it, you know, I could sit here and read all night long, and the people that would never, they would hear it, but they'd never understand. They would see it, but they'd never perceive it. But when you bring people's lives into it from a perspective of, this is the things that they went through. They're traumatic. Mm-hmm. They're degrading, humiliating, and everything else. But yet, look what the end result was. Right. God came and enriched them. God right. came and blessed them. So,
no. So anyway, Ruscala, it's good seeing you again. And Michael, is always good seeing you. And had a great evening tonight. So thank you for inviting me.
Thank you guys for coming on. I appreciated that. And folks, we'll get back to numbers, you know, in the Old Testament next week. But I wanted to do that, try to break it up a little bit so people can enjoy. Anyway, awesome. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. And we'll talk to you guys later.
Jerry, thank you. Appreciate it. Michael, thank you. God bless.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye. God bless.
See ya.